Can't hardly believe it's Advent already, but it is. You know, our Advent planning team, which basically are these guys back here, when we met in the middle of August, toward the end of August, I think it was in the 20s, we had a sheet of paper in front of us that had about 20 possible themes to help us see what December was going to look like here at Chambersburg Church. We had about 20 possible themes, and we didn't really like any of them. We didn't think any of them really connected. And then in a Cokesbury catalog, in a Christian book catalog that I happened to bring along, there was a book, and it was called All I Want for Christmas, okay? Has nothing to do with your two front teeth. All I Want for Christmas. And that struck us, and we thought, what do people really want for Christmas? And so we decided to go with that. Allie asked the children and youth that very question, what do you want for Christmas? And I asked you to think about your wish list and put something down on that green card and stick it in the offering plate. And hopefully you did that. And if you didn't do that, why, you can lay them on the chairs back there as you go out the door today. Next week, we're going to do something creative with that. But on Wednesday, I Googled, what do people want for Christmas? And I got data for this year, 2018, the most asked for gifts. And I'm going to tell you, if you haven't done your shopping or if you're stuck for ideas, pay attention for the next minute. Maybe this will help. The number one requested thing, this is no surprise, you probably already know, gadgets. Laptops, iPads, phones, cameras, Kindles, game consoles. A lot of that stuff was set up here this morning. Nobody said a Roomba. You know, I thought maybe a Roomba would be listed. Nobody said that. This was said. Yeah, you write that down?
I bought myself one a week ago.
You bought a Roomba?
Yeah.
All right.
I got one too.
Hey, all right.
And I watched it for 2 hours yesterday because I wanted to watch what it did.
Did it clean the house?
Yeah, it was really cool.
All right. See, we have it. There you go. So put Roombas up there. Clothing is still a popular item. Josh talked about it. He said he wanted jeans and sneakers or something on his feet. Footwear, pants, jeans, jackets. Nobody said anything about ugly sweaters, but that's number two. Number three, books to read or trips to take. 25% of those surveyed, just about 25% of those surveyed, said that they would like to find something to read under the Christmas tree when they get up in the morning. And travelers are looking for destination trips. They're looking for exotic places, or they're looking for dream places like a trip to Europe, New Zealand, South America were the three that were named. Listen, nobody on my list is getting that, okay? I'm just not doing that. But rounding out the list of the gadgets and the books and the trips and the clothing, rounding out the list are the perennial favorites, and that is watches, cosmetics, perfumes and bath products, that's no surprise, and jewelry. Did you know that Christmas Eve, how about this, honey? Christmas Eve is the most popular day of the year to get engaged. I'm just saying, guys, it's just the most popular year to get engaged. 13% of the people surveyed had something different in mind that you can't wrap. 13% of those surveyed said, I don't want anything material, I want time with my family. Or they said, good health in the new year. Or another perennial favorite, peace on earth, goodwill toward men and women. Now, here's what I know. Kathy and I have been in the mall, we've been in the shopping centers, and we've been at the outlets in Hagerstown and Gettysburg. And none of this surprises me. None of it does. But I'll tell you what I found interesting. All of the things that we say we want for Christmas are material. And yet, when I researched this week, psychiatrists and psychologists will say that the three things that human beings instinctively crave, whether you're in America or anywhere, number one, connection. They crave connection, a sense of belonging. Number two, mattering, they call it mattering, means a purpose, a reason to be alive. And number three, safety, or knowing that everything's going to be okay. And what I think is interesting about that is, when our Advent team met and started brainstorming, what do people want for Christmas? They were the first three things that we thought of. And that's what psychologists say are important in the psyche of people. Connection, mattering, and safety. We added time. And on December 23rd, we're going to talk about more time. If I just had one more day with my grandfather, if I just had one more week with my husband, what would life be like? If I just could see my father one more time. One more time. And December 24th, Christmas Eve, to have a real relationship with Jesus. To have a real relationship with Jesus. Today I want to talk about connection. One of the things that we crave is to be connected with one another, a sense of belonging. And I want to do that by looking at Mary and Elizabeth and their connection together. After the angel Gabriel in Luke 1 told Mary that she would conceive and give birth to God's Son himself, verse 39 that was read this morning says, she went with haste to Judea, to where her kinswoman Elizabeth lived. She went with haste. And I looked that up in the Greek, and it not only means that she went swiftly, she went with a zealous diligence. In other words, she went like a woman on a mission. And that made me think, well, what was the mission? And what in the world was she in such a hurry about? Did Mary know that Elizabeth was pregnant, and did she go to help her? I mean, and that's possible. I don't know if Elizabeth was her cousin. I don't think so, given her age. Mary was very young. Elizabeth was very old. Maybe her aunt, her mother's sister, did she go to help her? Was she feeling awkward that she, Mary, had conceived? And kind of awkward about her parents finding out, and so she got herself out of town before they did find out, because she had said she'd never be with a man, never was with a man. Would they believe that? Did she go to put some distance between herself and Joseph? Was she running away? What made her do it? She went, walked over 100 miles. That is not a trip to St. Thomas, folks. That is not a trip to McConnellsburg from here. Okay, 120 miles about over mountainous and treacherous terrain. Scholars believe that she did not go alone because it was too dangerous. Some scholars say, well, Joseph took her. He walked her to the door and went home. I don't think so. And the reason I don't think so is because the tradition of engagement was that the husband and wife, the future husband and wife, Mr. and Mrs., would not see each other until the wedding day. So I don't think Joseph was a part of this. Which means that she took a caravan or a bus. She took a caravan full of people because there's safety in numbers. That doesn't matter. The point is, she was anxious to get there. Now, USA Today tells me that in Christmas of 2017, just last year, 107 million people left their houses and went somewhere for the holiday. 107 million people. Some of them probably ended up at Disney World because Disney World's Christmas Day is the most popular day at Disney. I don't know why, but it is. Some of them probably ended up in Williamsburg. Some of them probably ended up in ski resorts someplace. But 107 million people went somewhere. Where do you think most of them went? Family, home. They went home. They went home because it's tradition. They went home to make a memory and to find memories. They went home for fulfillment and to be emotionally propped up. But here's the thing. They went home to be reconnected to family and friends. They went home to be connected. That's what Mary did. That was the mission. She went to be connected. She went to be with somebody who knew where she was and what was going on. And who better than an older woman, a woman of faith, who had been there and done that and believed that with God all things are possible. I want to ask you this question. Have you ever longed to be with somebody who understands you? And the answer is, of course I have. Have you ever longed to be with somebody who could tell you quite honestly, I feel your pain? Have you ever wanted to be in the presence of somebody who not only understands you, but appreciates you, and it's all good? And the answer is, yeah, I have. So I was thinking as I was writing my sermon, I got to think of a time when I was connected, when I was seeking connection. And I didn't know what to do. So I went to the post office and actually got connected with a man there, but that's another story. And then on the way back to the post office, it dawned on me. So I'm going to tell you this story, and hopefully it relates. Connection. It was a hot August day in 2000, the year 2000. And I was standing in my secretary's office, and the telephone rang, and it was for me. And it was the director of our annual conference. And he asked me if I would consider preaching for the Sunday morning service the following summer at annual conference. Okay? Now, a couple of things came to my mind. The first thing was, I was humbled. And I was humbled because there are, over our denomination, a lot of capable pastors, men and women, a lot of seasoned pastors, and they want me. And I'm just a pastor of a church down the road here. Okay, that's the first thing. The second thing was, I was surprised. I never expected to get that call. A lot of people never get that call. I didn't expect to get it. And I'm going to let you know a secret. Kathy said she hoped I'd never get that call because she said she couldn't live with me for the year leading up to it. I was surprised. I was humble. I was thrilled. I told him immediately, sure, I'll do that. Of course I'll do that. Who wouldn't preach for annual conference? But when I hung up the phone, I was sick. So I thought to myself, I preach for 150 people on a Sunday. How in this world do you preach for 1,000 people, 2,000, 3,000 people? How do you do that? How do you prepare yourself mentally and spiritually? What's it like? What's it like? You know? Now, I could have asked 20 of my colleagues at that point, pastoral colleagues, men or women, help me with this. What would you do? What would you suggest? But I needed somebody who had been there and done that. Somebody who could say to me, I know what you're feeling because I felt the same way. Somebody who could say to me, I really appreciate what God's doing in your life. And I see what God's doing with his hand on your life. Somebody could say to me, look, I value you. I believe in you. This is very important to you, isn't it? So it's important to me. And I thought, who am I going to call? I needed connection. I needed to go deeper than just to talk to a colleague who would say to me, oh, you'll do all right. You know, you just stand up there. If you swim in 2 feet of water, you can swim in 20 feet of water. So I'll tell you what I did. I thought in my mind, who's the best annual conference speaker that I had ever heard? Meaning me, you know, everybody has a different preference, but who's the best person I heard? And who's the best national youth conference person I ever heard? It's the same guy. And it was Paul Mundy. Now, Paul Mundy happens to be our moderator-elect, okay? So he's now a very important guy. But back then, he was at the Frederick Church of the Brethren. He was Todd's pastor, okay, at one time. And I didn't know Paul. I never met him, never talked to him. I called him up on the telephone, and I told him what was going on in my life and what had just happened to me. And then I borrowed a page from John Maxwell, and I said, Paul, I will pay you $100 for a half hour of your time. I need to come to your office and bare my soul. Can I come? And he said, yeah, sure. And he not only counseled me but prepared me, he connected with me. He came up on the stage and talked to me after I gave the sermon. And since that time, 17 years, I've hardly seen the man. But I had a long conversation with him at annual conference this past year, and he remembered it completely. We had connection. Have you ever wanted to be in the presence of somebody who understood you and was there? Connection is what happened when a girl in her youth who was experiencing her own advent, waiting 9 months for the Savior to be born, okay, meets a family member who heard a word from the Lord herself and was expecting a child in her old age. Connection is what happens when Mary greets Elizabeth and Elizabeth's baby, which was John the Baptist, leaps at the sound of her voice. Connection is what happened when in her last trimester, Mary helped Elizabeth through her pregnancy, and Elizabeth taught Mary the things that she needed to know about pregnancy and motherhood, things that nobody would be able to tell her, okay? In fact, there are a lot of people that feel that Mary was Elizabeth's midwife and helped her deliver that child so that when Mary was alone, Mary knew a little bit of what the ropes were, okay? Just saying. Connection is what happened. I imagine they deeply shared of their faith. They probably wondered, you know, what are our kids going to grow up to be like? What are they going to look like? They asked that question. Into the wee hours, they surely expressed hope that the world doesn't have and talked about fear that the world doesn't want to know. But on a real level, they went deeper than the surface and they connected with one another. Connection, my friends, and I'm just about done, is not about friendship. You can have a ton of friends, and not one of them would you share your deepest dream with. You can have 100 people around you and have a good time and a few laughs, but how many of those people would you really open up and share your honest failures, your moral failures, and your fears? Who do you have in your life this very moment to whom you could say, listen, God's speaking to me. And I'll be honest, it scares me to death. Who do you have you could say that to, and they wouldn't dismiss you or change the subject and put it back on themselves? Who do you have in your life who knows your stuff, understands your stuff, and will hold you accountable for your stuff? And more than that, who do you have in your life right now who does in fact know your stuff and loves you so fiercely because of it? They'll stand with you because they realize the two of you are on holy ground. Okay? I'm talking about connection, the number one thing we all crave. In 2013, a scientist whose name was Matthew Lieberman said, he went on record as saying, we're hardwired to connect. Connection is our DNA. And he said it's because God created us to connect with him. The foundation of the Christmas story is Emmanuel. It means God with us. Connection. What would the church look like this Christmas if we were with each other? Instead of having 20 chairs between us and two rows between us, we truly connected. I asked you, who knows your stuff and holds you accountable for your stuff? What would your friendships look like if you had permission to hold each other accountable? And you could go deep and be real? What would your marriage look like this Christmas? If you could have both understanding and be understood. And it was the poet Robert Frost who said, home is the place where when you have to go there, they have to take you in. Yeah? But it occurs to me this Christmas, what if when you went home, every member was valued? And what if not only every member was valued, nobody was ignored, nobody was laughed at, nobody was dismissed, and the family actually wanted to get deeper and be in relationship? Am I talking about Hallmark? I mean, I don't know. Kathy and I have been watching the Hallmark movies. Do you watch the Hallmark movie? Can I tell you something? They're all the same movie. They just have different people in them. It's the same movie. But there's something about it I love. Am I talking about a Hallmark Christmas? I don't know. Here's what I say. Forget Roomba. Forget jeans and footwear. Forget iPads and laptops. Forget all that stuff. Isn't this what we say we really want? When you go home or mom comes home, don't you want? Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Lord Jesus, I pray that you will speak to us today and help us to at least be real and authentic with one another. That's the hardest thing to do in church. Somebody taught us that we should come in here and put on a good face. But I'd like to pray that you will strip us of that pretense. Help us to be a church that has a real sense of your presence. And I like to say that we can come home and it's real. Lead us to a different place, to a better place, for I pray these things in your name. Amen.